At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Ron was very successful. He was an international art dealer, and he had made a ton of money. Unfortunately, his personal life was falling apart. He had gotten into an affair and had to confess to his wife. And his wife had said, "I will forgive you. We need some changes, though, here." And Ron said, "Tell you what, say something and I'll do it." Well, it just so happened that his wife, Debbie, had the hankering to go down and start volunteering at a homeless shelter. And she said, "I'd love for you to come down." Well, let's just say Ron mixed with celebrities, the jet set, multimillionaires, if not billionaires. And that was initially the last place he wanted to be. And he struggled, but his wife had given him a second chance. And he'd said, "All right, darling, I'll come down." But inside he's going, "I hope there's no strange diseases, strange people, you name it." He was kind of closed off, but he was there because his marriage was important to him. One day, after his wife had been volunteering for a little while, she had a dream, or one night rather, she had a dream. And in it, she saw this man. He was very different than her. He was poor, but he was very wise. Well, the next time they went down to the shelter, they were volunteering and helping out, and all of a sudden she went, "Ron, there's a guy in my dream." And it was a guy named Denver. He was the roughest, toughest, meanest, most dangerous guy in the street. He'd grown up in virtual slavery as a sharecropper down south. He'd experienced a ton of racism and hate. He was very interesting and for very good reason. And when Debbie said, "That's the guy," whoa, Ron wasn't thrilled. Back and forth they went, Ron and Debbie, to try to get to know this fella, and he kept them at arm's length. And finally he was like, "Why are you white folks trying to hang around with me?" And Ron said, "Well, I guess I'd like to be your friend." And he said, "You want to be my friend?" "Yeah." He goes, "Well, I'm going to have to think about that." Well, over the course of time, as they continued to interact, they eventually did become friends. Someone recently loaned me the book, Same Kind of Different as Me, and it was a true story of what happened. I believe it just came out as a movie a couple months ago. I haven't seen the movie, but the book was really fascinating. And it was a great illustration of people opening themselves up to others. And eventually Ron and Debbie actually opened their door, and Denver would come over and have meals. And it was kind of a different situation for all of them. But it was so wonderful what God began to do in their lives. They took a risk and saw God at work. Well, it's our second week of Advent. And Advent is where we look forward to celebrating Christ's first coming. And we also look forward to his second coming. But in the meantime, we celebrate and we say, "Thank you, Lord, that you are good." Well, last week we looked at Mary and how she opened the door to God's plan. You know, she knew she was getting married. Everything was buttoned up. She's planning this wedding. What happens? An angel comes and boom, there go her plans out the window. But what did she say? "May it be to me as you have said." This is not exactly what I had planned. I was just looking forward to my nice little Galilean wedding. Few guests, a few things to eat, and there with Joseph. But she said, "All right." Well, let me tell you, we're going to talk about opening your heart's door to friends and strangers. Some of those strangers may simply be not friends yet. Well, she was in an awkward spot. She's a teenage girl, small town, she's pregnant, probably feeling alone, and had nothing to do with her fiancé. And what's she do after the angel appears to her? She heads off to her cousin. And her cousin is older than she is. She's tried and never had a child. And back in this time, it was It wasn't scandalous, but it was great shame. And it was very difficult for Elizabeth. If we were to spend more time, we know that her husband was on call as a priest. He was in the temple when the angel of the Lord said, Zechariah, you and your wife are going to have a baby. Instead of Zechariah responding, that's great, but how's this all going to work? He said, we are way too old, angel. And the angel said, oh yeah, nothing's impossible with God. You're not going to be able to say a word until your baby's born. And so he comes out of the temple. He's using sign language. He went home, talked to... He didn't talk. I guess he pantomimed with his wife, and lo and behold, things happen. Meanwhile, the angel that appeared to Mary says, your cousin, your older cousin, you know that cousin? She's 6 months pregnant already. Mary says, I'm getting out of town for a little while. Imagine, her life is totally turned upside down. She's followed God. She's done exactly what she should. And yet everyone is going to blame her for doing everything she shouldn't have. Well, she heads to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is family. And amazingly enough, the angel told her she's going to have a baby. Elizabeth's house is going to prove to be a sanctuary, a safe place, a place she can get away and be welcomed. I remember living in Thailand in my mid-20s. I was stressed. I was struggling. I was in language school. And it was not coming easy for me. Well, it just so happened there was an American family that lived about a 45-minute bus ride away. They had two or three or four. They didn't have their six kids yet, but they had a bundle. And they were in their mid-30s. They were kind of old, you know, and well, at least compared to me, but they were hospitable. They would see me occasionally, and they'd said, you've got to hop on the bus and come and see us. And so I did one time, and it was really easy when I got to their neighborhood. I said, where's the white folks? And everyone went, that way. And off I went. I showed up, and they were so wonderful. In Thailand, you never shake hands, you never hug, you go like this. That's your greeting. Well, I got used to the missionaries because they were from all over the world, and I'd shake their hand. Well, I go to shake their hand, and they push it aside and said, we hug here. I hadn't had a hug in months by this point because you just don't do that there. And I didn't realize how much I missed it. And they said, we are so glad you're here. And this was a family that welcomed many other singles from around the world. I guess they're from the South, and they extended that hospitality. They made me feel welcome, almost part of the family, in fact. And I remember one night, they said, hey, it's late, it's raining, why don't you just stay the night instead of going back on the bus? Okay. So they rolled out a mattress on the floor of their boys' bedrooms. They were like 6 and 4, I think, at the time. That was great. I was Uncle Mike to them, and they were the kids. And, well, there was one interesting challenge. The 6-year-old was having a hard time because he drank way too much water before bed. They'd let him sleep, and then just before his parents would go to bed, Dad would pick him up, hold him over a 5-gallon bucket, put him back to bed. Worked great. Solved the problem 90% of the time, except for the night that I was sleeping in between the boys' rooms, because I woke up to the sound of the younger 4-year-old going, Uncle Mike, Uncle Mike, so-and-so's peeing on your bed. Whoa! I'm on the mattress. I kind of jump out of the way, and lo and behold, it was happening. Meanwhile, the parents heard the screaming, not from me, but from the other one. And they come running in, and we did a quick change and everything else. And in the morning, the younger one said, guess what? You peed all over Uncle Mike's bed. And he goes, I did not. And I said, oh, wow. Hey, guys, look, there's a snake. And, kind of divert the attention. I certainly felt welcome there, and that is the whole point. When I was tired, when I was lonely, when I was whatever me, I'm far from home, I'd get some good American cooking, I'd get some hugs, I'd get to wrestle a couple kids, and it was so important. And for Mary, when she was in a difficult spot, even though she'd done everything right, she found a welcome. We read in verse 39, in Luke chapter 1, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. I don't know exactly where this town in Judah in the hill country was from where she was from, but she made the journey. And I'm not sure if she was by herself or what. But you know, when she got there, it was a pleasant welcome. Sometimes when we interact with people, it's really wonderful. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like, well, that was an interesting one. Where'd they come from? But I want to encourage you this Christmas season, do like Elizabeth. Open the door. What did she do? She received Mary. Now, I'm not talking if you're a single lady, open the door in the middle of the night to a homeless drunk beating on your door. No, call 911 in that situation. But I'm saying in general, be open to who God is bringing your way, even if it's not exactly convenient. Sometimes people, and especially even here in the church or your neighbors, they just need someone to talk to. They need company. Don't wait for someone to come to your door. Maybe the Lord would have you go to theirs. Well, when Mary showed up, Zechariah and Elizabeth said, "Come on in." But before she even got through the door, there was this amazing thing that happened. The Holy Spirit was at work. But I'm sure that after John jumped in her womb, we'll talk about it in a second, the ladies got together and started chatting. I had a pregnant wife twice. It was wonderful. And what I noticed was pregnant ladies are like magnets together. Boom! They're talking about all kinds of things. When are you due? How are you feeling? What's going on? Is it kicking? Is it moving? What are you craving? Blah, blah. Oh, have you seen these deals? Where do you get this? They just talk together, and it's amazing how that happens. I am sure that for Mary, who was a very young mother, and for Elizabeth, who was a very old mother, let's just say they had plenty to talk about. They received each other and responded. Well, I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord, who should I be opening the door to? Whether it be literally or metaphorically, or whose door do I need to go knock on? It's possible that Elizabeth was having a hard time herself. Remember, her husband couldn't say a word. Well, maybe that was helping the situation. I don't know. But the fact is, maybe the Lord sent Mary there to encourage her. That very well could have been. But let me encourage you, don't just open the door, respond. Respond to others by opening your heart up. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby, John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't this great? The soon as Cousin Mary's voice hit John's little ears in the womb, boom, he responded. Don't you love it? The sacredness of life. Life begins at conception. It is so precious and so beautiful. And there's this emotional, not just emotional, but the action. Wow! Because John knew who this few-day-old, couple-week-old little babe inside of Mary's was. It was the Savior of the world. It's so interesting because typically in the biblical culture, the younger paid homage to the older, said, "Oh, you're older. We give you respect." Kind of like in Thailand, you know, the higher up you hold your hands when you greet somebody, the more respectful they are. The king, you go like this. To a little kid, I'd kind of go like that, if at all. To a person my same status, I would kind of put them right here. And you kind of adjust your hands. But here, Elizabeth is going, wow. Through the Holy Spirit, she knows who is inside of Mary. The one they've all been waiting for. And it's so interesting because the first one to really announce, outside of an angelic being, that the Messiah has come is little bitty John. And that's going to be his job through the rest of his life. To point, hey, it's not me, it's him. It's Jesus. But I love the fact that with her whole heart, soul, mind, and body, and baby, Elizabeth responds to Mary. This is a work of God, and it's great. She doesn't just open the door, she opens herself up. And you know, we have opportunity to welcome and open ourselves up as well. It can be scary sometimes when people you don't know or can be a little awkward situation. But you know what I found? I might be a little scared, but they're even scarier. Until you say hello. Until you say, how are things? I just wanted to greet you. I remember, and I mentioned a couple months ago, a couple in their late 70s in college. I'd gotten to know Bill walking around campus. And he said, why don't you come over? My wife Betty's a great cook. And I went over there. And I was in one of those difficult periods of life, and what'd they do? They listened, they loved on me, and they gave me lunch. Couldn't go wrong with that as a college guy. And I've never forgotten, when I was in their living room, sitting across from these older, wonderful saints, I felt like the most important person in the world. They gave me their attention. They not only opened their door, their house, literally, they responded to me. And it was wonderful. And that's what Elizabeth did. And Zechariah, you got to give him credit, said, come on in. You know, their life back in that time was difficult as well. They were under the oppression of a foreign government. They couldn't do as they pleased. And even so, they had the same hopes and fears and dreams as we do. Things not going well. Financial struggles, relational things. People needing love and acceptance. Just back then, they need it now. Things that were beyond their control happening, just like here. There's not much we can do besides pray like crazy about the Middle East and North Korea and everything else. But they had tensions, we have tensions, and sometimes people need encouragement. Us to just come alongside. Hey, what's on your mind? We'll love the fact, and just we'll see that, as I'm sure as Mary said, this is what's going on. Elizabeth said, it's going to be okay. And sometimes just being with another person and unloading our burden by talking, and all they have to do is sit there, it can help and make things lighter. What happened next? Let's look at verse 42. And Elizabeth exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there'd be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Mary, or Elizabeth doesn't say, Mary, you're pregnant, what happened? The question she asks is, how can I be so favored? The fact the Lord in your womb showed up, that God allowed me to face this. Incredible. Elizabeth rejoices with Mary, and Mary rejoices with Elizabeth. They praise God. And so let me encourage you, open your heart and also open your mouth. Rejoice. Receive folks. Respond to them and rejoice. And we won't spend much time, but let me read verses 46 to 55. It's this beautiful hymn that Mary shares. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And this is a great picture of a younger woman and an older lady connecting, encouraging, building each other up. And she goes on to say, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, even as he spoke to our father Abraham and his offspring forever. They encouraged each other. They praised God together. And what a difference it made. Hope was here for them. The Messiah was going to be born. He was already on scene. You just couldn't see him yet. And we can encourage each other as well. When things are difficult, when they're tough, when we come alongside and say, hey, it's rough, but the King is coming back. Things are hard. They're out of control, but I know one who is in control. Spur each other on. Rejoice. Talk about God. There's a whole lot of other things you could talk about in the newspaper which are not going to be helpful. You go, ay caramba, what are people thinking? What is going on? How in the world could you even have this idea? And yet go to the scripture. Oh, there's good news here. Somebody knows what they're doing. Somebody's got a plan. It's going to come to fruition. Good news. We need to remind ourselves over and over, because I know for me, my mental track can go downhill really fast. You know, sometimes we're cooking our sausage and our pancakes at men's breakfast and our eggs. By the way, it's Saturday. It's going to be great. And we can, oh, did you hear this? We're already in the basement. The conversation starts augering its way down farther. And then suddenly it's like somebody goes, but God is good. God's in control. We can trust him. He's merciful. He's kind. He's just. Woo, aren't you glad? And then we're like, okay, building each other up. Sometimes, though, it's not always easy to rejoice with others. You know, Andy Williams sang, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." And I like that song, and yeah, I hear it a lot. You know, it's on the radio, it's at the mall. But for some folks, it doesn't ring true this time of year. Christmas isn't the most wonderful time of year because they're thinking about loss. They're thinking about struggle, people they miss. Maybe we've got to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And that can be part of it, just sitting down and being quiet. Ask yourself, though, who's the Lord brought your way? Who's he bringing to mind even now? As I'm talking about, oh, receive and respond to and rejoice with. Who is God putting in your head? Maybe he wants you to take a step out with them. Well, Mary was with Zachariah and Elizabeth a long time. We read, Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. I'm not sure why right before John's birth she left, but she did. Maybe by then she was like, okay, Lord, you're in control. I'm ready to go back, talk to Joseph. By this time, Joseph had had a dream. The angel had appeared to him, and he was ready to... Maybe it took Joseph 3 months to come to grips with what the angel had said. Okay, you're back, Mary. Let's get married. We'll move on from here. Well, I think about an old quote of Benjamin Franklin. He said, fish and visitors stink after 3 days. But you know what? Mary didn't. She was godly, and she was grateful. And Zachariah and Elizabeth were gracious. And by the way, one of my praises is it's great to have Mom here. And she can stay as long as she likes, and she can come as frequent as she wants. She's great. And you all know that. So that quote does not apply to my mother. It might apply to yours, but that's another story. You deal with that. But this is a long time, showing up for 3 months when you're getting ready to give birth. But maybe Mary, again, responded to God and went there, and she was a tremendous help. Because Elizabeth was older and having a hard time bending over. You remember what it was like. And so maybe Mary did the housework and gave her some conversation, because Zachariah wasn't doing any talking right now. Another thing to think about, though, is I have a feeling what played a role in Elizabeth and Zachariah being so gracious was they probably remembered. They remembered times God had been gracious to them. After all, it is an absolute miracle Elizabeth is pregnant in her old age, and she'd been praying, and Zachariah had been praying for years, decades, in fact, and God had answered. And while Scripture doesn't say this, I'm taking a step. Say, I think that probably she goes, look what God has done for me. I am going to extend grace, because she'd experienced God's grace. And I know when I've experienced kindness from others, and when I remember it, when I experience kindness from God, it's easier to extend it to others. And God has extended grace to us. He's flung open the door to me. If you read in Ephesians 2, it says, remember at that time you were separated from Christ, alienated from Israel, strangers to the covenant, having no hope, no, and without God in the world. But now in Jesus, you who are far off are brought near. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us, and that when you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were far off. We were strangers. We were alienated from God. And what did he do? He made a way through Jesus, which we are celebrating now, to get right with him. Israel was told to be kind to foreigners and strangers several times in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Why? Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. So be kind to the foreigners in your midst. I remember bawling my eyes out at one point after a bad breakup. And a buddy of mine just came. He didn't say much. He just put his arm around my shoulder and handed me a Kleenex. He didn't have to say anything. And that was so important. And I have a feeling because he'd remembered what it was like to go through the same kind of thing. And when we remember what God has done, it helps us to receive others and respond well. Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. And when we give, we're blessed. Isn't that amazing, the kingdom of God? We're blessed to be a blessing. And when we bless others, God just seems to pour more blessing out. Well, let me keep ask you again, who is the Lord bringing to mind? Somebody that you know that's struggling. Somebody that's not here. Somebody that needs an encouraging word. Somebody who might be alone this Christmas because of whatever circumstance. Open your door. Bring a cup of hot cocoa over to their house. Say, hey, I brought you something. Invite him to come caroling. Invite him to the Christmas Eve service or the New Year's party. Or have your own New Year's party. If you don't want to be alone New Year's Eve, come on over to our house. But invite somebody. It makes such a big difference. This year we are once again doing the Crooch family tradition of the Christmas, and here's the Christmas cookie challenge. We are going to our neighbors and we knock on their doors and say, hey, we'd like to bring you some Christmas cookies. And one of the couples that for the last 4 years has opened the door, first it was 2 inches, then it was 3 inches, and then it was 6 inches. We can actually put the plate through the door without it turning sideways this year. Now, they didn't say much more than, oh, I remember you last year. And they didn't say, whoa, keep those cookies away. They were bad news. But they actually opened the door enough we could say, here you go. And they've kind of come to expect it. But you know what it's done? Christmas time is a great opportunity to knock on people's doors because it's socially acceptable. You're not automatically weird if you just say, hi, I've been a terrible neighbor. I haven't talked to you since you moved in 8 months ago or 12 years ago, and I hardly ever say hi. You can say, hey, I just want to get to know you better. Merry Christmas. And they go, oh, thanks. Let me encourage you. Go to Shady Cove Market today. Buy yourself some paper plates or go to the thrift store and get yourself some real plates. Buy some Oreos. Put an Oreo on top. Put a piece of saran wrap with a bow on top and go visit a neighbor. You'll freak them out. But you'll bless their socks off. And who knows how God will use it. And if you can't afford Oreos, I will give you some. But you're going to have to go see your neighbor because it's going to be, you're not going to like it at all. Oh, you know, hi, I'm Harold's neighbor. You know, the one right next door. He's too chicken to come say hi, so I'm doing it on behalf of him. You don't want me to do that at your house. But it's easy. It really is. You're a little nervous. They're even more nervous. But it's a way to connect. And it's a way to invite them. The Christmas Eve service, and it's a way to show you care. Don't be afraid. They won't bite. You already know who's got the vicious dog, so avoid their house, you know? Elizabeth and Zechariah opened the door. They opened their hearts. They opened their mouths. Hebrews says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. They may not look like angels, but they might be. And over several times in Scripture, people said, yes, come on in. And they were angels. How about it? You got 2 weeks till Christmas. Ask God, who should I visit? Who should I invite over? You can have Campbell's soup and grilled cheese. Or my favorite yet, Papa Murphy's. It's cheap. It's easy. It tastes great. It's filling. You can find all kinds of different kinds. You can do it. Next spring, I want to encourage you, go visit the Trail Tavern Museum. It's right at the corner at the end of Old Trail Creek Road. Fascinating stuff in there. Let me tell you, the docents, the guides, they are a wealth of knowledge. And I want you to go find the Jack Carlton exhibit. Keep praying for Jack because his leg's swelling and he can't get the rest of his leg on. That's why he's not here. But there's the Jack Carlton thing, and they've got all these quotes of Jack. You know, he grew up underneath, well, where the lake is now. He's been around the block for a little while, except for a stint in the South Pacific. He's been here 90 years. And well, I guess he went to Bible school too once. But it has some quotes of Jack, and he said, yeah, I grew up here, and I pretty much know everybody. Or I did. Now there's all kinds of new people coming in. That is true. Everyone new here is not a logger. A lot of you are new, and I don't see any loggers amongst you. But things have changed over time. And the folks that used to be here are not like the folks that are here now. There's some real pieces of work you see walking around town. I'm aware of it. I meet them. They call me. They show up on my driveway. Sometimes my wife says, don't open the door. But sometimes I usually do. And Kyle's got his Nerf gun, so I'm cool. It's all right. But you know, sometimes you can feel like, boy, it's kind of us versus them. It's the us normal ones, and then it's them. But you know what? They may look not quite so put together on the outside, but they're just as unput together on the inside as you and me. And they're in need of God's grace too. And these are who God's brought into our world. Yesterday, we were at the Shady Cove Christmas party that's put on by the Fire Department Support Group. They do an amazing job. And Kim and I took the chance to hand out flyers for our Christmas party today. There's a lot of parents and families that are looking squared away, stable, solid, employable, kind of folks, boy, I hope they bring their kids. And there's a whole lot of other folks that's like, where did they crawl out from underneath? They're not quite looking all spit and polished, but that's whom I'm hoping all of them come, because they need Jesus just like we needed Jesus. We're one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And I hope that as we have invited them to come into our building, open our door, that we'll receive them and welcome them. Things could get messy, literally, and they could get crazy. And I hope that God does that, that He brings folks that need Him, those who are squared away and those who aren't, but everyone who needs Jesus. Broken families, lives, bodies, you are welcome. You know, they've told me their stories as I've visited. And they're talking about violence and fighting and abuse and drugs and prison and live-ins and step this mom and dad and grandpa and moving constantly in homelessness. And then they catch a breath and they say, and then I turned 5. And it blows your mind. You go, I would be a disaster too if I grew up in that situation. But I'm hoping God brings them. And things get crazy around here and extra noisy. Because why are we here? To love people for the kingdom's sake. To open our doors for friends and strangers. For people we don't know yet. Meeting them, walking with them in life, and sharing the hope of Christ. Because that's what Jesus did for me. I was far away and He welcomed me in. I was full of sin and alienated, and He said, I want to make you my child. And if nothing else, I'd say that's reason enough to step out and say, come on in. We've got a good God to share with you. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you that you loved us. Thank you for the opportunity and the day of salvation today. Would you work in the hearts of some children and families today to bring them to faith? Be reminding these kids and their parents to come this afternoon. Jesus, teach us to be hospitable. Prepare us so that we're ready to invite folks in, and so we're ready to go out to them. Help us to be like Elizabeth, who was so quick to comfort, who was a channel of grace and blessing, and who rejoiced in what you were doing. Lord, help us to take the steps you want us to take. Lord, to take wise risks, but to step out in faith. Lord, we thank you that you'll be with us as we do. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.